the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Alicia Quivedale with Damian Collada. We're so happy you're with us on this Friday morning. It's Lent.
It
no
is.
No meat for you.
No meat.
Okay.
Save it for tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. Today is the feast of St. Oscar Romero. Let's start with prayer.
Please.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who have prepared fitting helps for us in our weakness, grant, we pray, that we may receive their healing effects with joy and reflect them in a holy way of life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, St. Oscar Romero, pray for us. We have a wonderful show for you this morning. We will be joined by sacred musician James Rosenblum to tell us about an upcoming parish mission chamber concert at Our Lady of the Rosary in New Orleans. That will be a wonderful event. Michelle Sagarino also joins us. She is the president of Cross Catholic Outreach. We love staying in touch with our friends at Cross. They are always doing wonderful things. And she's talking specifically about the Wells of Salvation campaign. Erin Berghaus will join us. She is the producer, director, and composer of Santiago, The Camino Within. That is in theaters March 28th only. And you're going to want to stick around because we're giving away several tickets to see that movie on March 28th.
Yeah, Santiago. Number of pairs.
That's right. That's right. So we also are joined by our friend Kristen Van Uden. She is an author spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press. She'll visit with Damian about the book Evidence of Satan in the Modern World. That will be a fascinating interview, too.
It will be. And it's not too bad of a start today for weather-wise. We will see plenty of clouds, and the sun may peek in and out. But overall, no rain really until late afternoon, possibly even early evening, because that front that's coming this way has slowed down, and that's not too bad. LSU may actually get their baseball game in, and as well as Tulane and others who are trying to work around the weather and get their schedule going. At the same time, high is going to be about 85. Winds will be picking up out of the south at about 15 to 20 miles an hour. Could even be gusting to more than that for Saturday. Again, that's when the rain is going to get here, at least in the morning. It's going to linger around, and then it ought to clear out, give us another nice day. High's even going to be warmer, 87 degrees for the high tomorrow. And then come Sunday is when the rains come back. And that's about a 70% chance. And winds are going to be gusty at about 15 to 20 miles an hour. High is going to be in the mid-80s. And the winds will be out of the southeast, if you're kind of curious about that. Temperatures in and around the area right now, it's 68 degrees in Passe Christiane, which, by the way, was listed as one of the best places to live in America.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Over in Covington, it's 69. And in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Houma Thibodeau, they're all reporting 71 degree temperatures to get our morning started. And there you go. Also, a little reminder, St. Jude Catholic Church over there on Highland Road in Gardere, they are kicking off their annual church fair this weekend. It'll start around 5 o'clock this afternoon and go through Sunday.
Oh, golly, I hope the weather.
They'll work in and out of it. And make it a point to go to the Italian booth and pick you up a homemade muffalata.
Are you making this?
No, but that's my recipe.
But that's what, really?
Yes.
Okay, Damian Collada's recipe. That's
there you
impressive.
Go check it out. Hopefully you'll like it. In the meantime, we know you like Wake Up. Stick around. It's 5 after on a Friday.
Thank you. Good Friday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 7. Jesus moved about within Galilee, but he did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they are trying to kill? And look, he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me and also know where I am from. Yet I did not come on my own. But the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him and he sent me." So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him because his hour had not yet come.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, for today's gospel reading. We are joined this morning by James Rosenblum. James is a sacred musician, and he's to share some information about a parish mission at Our Lady of the Rosary in New Orleans. Good morning, James.
Hi, Alicia. Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. We're so happy that you're with us this morning to share about this upcoming Parish Mission Chamber Concert. Now, this is sponsored by the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So tell us about Prepare the Way of the Lord.
Well, Alicia, this is born from sort of a long running of conversations that I've had with my good friend Jordan Haddad, who's the president of the St. Louis the Ninth Society, just in close quarters, talking about beauty, music, liturgy, and the kind of things that two young men talk about on a Saturday night, or maybe that's just us. And like I said, for several years, those conversations have really bore fruit in our understanding of you know, how to provide beauty in the context of our own domestic churches, at home with family, but even in our community. I do work locally with the church doing music, and then Jordan is a beacon for understanding and learning more about art. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do this evening at Our Lady of the Rosary is just provide an opportunity for our community to come together, to experience, you know, the intentional alignment of music, preaching, poetry, art, architecture, with worship and adoration of the true presence of Jesus.
Yes.
So we're really excited about it. It's something we haven't done before, and we put a lot of work into it. So, you know,
that's wonderful.
Definitely looking forward to it.
That's wonderful. Now, who will be preaching?
That'll be Father John Brown.
Okay.
He's at the Jesuit school here locally. Sad to say that I've only met him, you know, in working with him for this occasion, and then the hour-long Zoom meeting we had. I know that we could go another 4 or 5 hours talking about similar things. He's extremely passionate about what we're doing this night. I won't give away necessarily, what he's going to talk about.
Oh, sure.
Much of the music that was curated was based on the message that he's wanting to provide about, culture and beauty, reclaiming beauty, and many, many other things. So you got to come to hear it.
How beautiful. Now, James, you've curated all the music for this evening?
Curated, yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Written? No, I have not.
curated, yes. Wonderful.
It's been... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. Go ahead.
Well, when I say curated, it was a bit of a daunting task, because church music really does lie on a spectrum. Mm. A tradition of treasure, you know, that exists in an ancient form where we find much of our polyphony and chant, traditional music, melodies that we know and can sing by Bach and Wesley, and contemporary music, in sort of the 20th century, and then modern worship that's sort of created for our congregation today in a modern style. And so I'm borrowing from everything from the 13th century to, there's a piece that's from 16, 38, we're going to do an instrumental transcription of the Miserere Mei Deus by Gregorio Allegri. But then we have, you know, a modern piece by Max Richter, who was written in 2004. It's all going to come together to, as I said, you know, reflect the teaching that Father John's going to provide, as well as, you know, give us reflection on the life and passion of our Lord. Because, you know, as we know, this will happen on March 28th. Lent will be coming to a close at that point.
Yes.
Very hard to believe.
I know.
And, you know, we want to prepare our hearts for Holy Week.
That's right. That's right. James, give our listeners all the details, when and where, and what time they can attend this wonderful parish mission. Because it's not just for parishioners of Our Lady of the Rosary, right?
Oh, no, not at all. It's okay. For any... any amount that we can fit in this church, short of disrupting any fire codes.
Okay, good.
You know, we are looking to really pack this thing. And it'll occur at Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church on Esplanade Avenue here in New Orleans, 7 p.m. on March 28th. I believe that's next Tuesday.
Yes, yes, it is. So folks need to register to go. There's no cost to attend, but I think y'all want to just make sure that you have the right count, right? I think St. Louis the Ninth is asking for registration, and you can also find more information at their website, and that is sl9art.com. And there's a link there so you can register for that. Do you know how many people fit in Our Lady of the Rosary, James? Just curious.
Oh, my goodness. I know how many I'd like to fit.
Okay, good. How many would you like to sit?
Knowing Father Jonathan over there, I just toured the church. I've been there a few times, but I toured it the other day just to make sure we were, you know, we had everything we needed. It has a large presence on the outside, but yes. It does show some limitation on the inside. I'd hate to give you a wrong number, but
okay.
Come early.
That's okay. Okay, come early. But do visit that website, sl9art.com, so that you can find out all the details. That's March 28th at 7 p.m., Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church on Esplanade in New Orleans. James, thank you so much for joining us. It sounds like a wonderful night people will not want to miss.
Thank you, Alicia. It's been my pleasure. Have
thank
a great
you. God
day.
Bless you. Thank you. Wow, it sounds like a beautiful evening. I love that. Love what St. Louis the Ninth Art Society is doing. Great things. Say, stick around. Michelle Segarino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, will join us to talk about the Wells of Salvation campaign. It is 15 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 24th. Today we celebrate Saint Oscar Arnulfo Romero. Born in 1917, young Oscar studied in El Salvador's National Seminary before completing his education in Rome. Prior to becoming a bishop, Father Romero served as a parish priest and later a seminary rector. Because of his conservative reputation, the Salvadoran government welcomed Romero's 1977 appointment as Archbishop of San Salvador, but many parish priests feared that he would hinder their efforts to improve the lives of the poor. In 1979, Archbishop Romero spoke out publicly against the military junta that had seized control of El Salvador. His weekly sermons on national radio were regarded by many as the most trustworthy source of news. In his homily during Mass on March 24, 1980, Romero called on soldiers to obey God's higher order and stop carrying out the government's repressive violations of basic human rights. The Archbishop was shot and killed a few moments later. Romero's tomb continues to attract thousands of visitors each year. Oscar Romero was beatified in 2015 and canonized in 2018. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Happy Friday morning, everyone. 18 after the hour. Welcome to Wake Up. We're so glad you could join us. With us right now is Michelle Segarino. She is president of Cross Catholic Outreach. Great organization. We'll delve into that as well. But first, we want to talk about their latest endeavor, Wells of Salvation. Good morning, Michelle, and tell us all about what's going on.
Well, good morning, Damien. Thank you for having me on your program today. Yes, we are working on an international comprehensive program to provide water in over 11 countries, impacting for this year, where we want to provide water to over 200,000 people.
Wow. Well, to do that, I know it takes money. It takes equipment. So let's talk about both. What does it take to actually get one well dug in a village or a community? And where exactly? I know I read up a little bit. Zambia is one of the locations. I think Ghana was another one. Tell us about those and others that you have on your agenda.
Sure. Good question. Our whole mission statement is to mobilize the Catholic Church to transform the poor and their communities for the glory of Jesus Christ. So we do that through working through already established amazing leaders of our church, priests, nuns. We work through dioceses. And so the reason I bring that up is that it's effective because we're not having hundreds of staff in the field, and these leaders simply know their communities better and just need financial support. So how does that look in a well? It can look very different. It could be a solar well in Kenya that can impact 10,000 people. It could be a hand pump in a small village in Malawi that maybe impacts 100 people. So each way that they go about fulfilling their need could look very, very different. Depending on the amount of people that they're trying to support.
Yeah, and how much you have to dig to get the water itself. And each well probably is as different, as you said, in each location. Have you gotten a lot of cooperation from the government as well? Because even though this is a church endeavor, sometimes that can be the most difficult or toughest hurdle.
Yeah, that's the benefit of working through the church. There is many times a strong respect and support. Also in some areas, for instance, in Kenya, the government could see the need. They know that they're not fulfilling it. And, you know, they could be supportive of that in the diocese. I know Father Fabian in Kenya, after building many, many wells, over 50 wells, has now had the support of the government, not financially, but just allowing everything to move forward. Many times these wells are on the property of the church as well.
Oh, really?
We really believe that by providing water, you're also providing living water. And that's because it's the church that's doing this. And it allows people, when they have water, to be able to let their children go to school.
Yeah,
to be able to let their families go to Mass and participate in their faith.
Living the gospel. It automatically brings the reading of Jesus and the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And boy, how beautiful is that, that you could see this developing firsthand. What, on average, since there's been at least 50 wells you mentioned, maybe more, what is the average cost of a well, and where are you getting the monies and the funds to build these?
Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, working in over 30 countries and currently this year trying to support the missionaries in 11 countries with water, the price varies immensely from a solar to a hand pump. But on average, you can provide water, and we believe in long-term support, so you can provide water to one individual from anywhere from $7 to $10 for a lifetime. This is, you know, the church stays there. The pump doesn't just get placed in, and then if it breaks, there's no water. We're continually supporting and putting in processes to ensure that it's going to continue to provide that water.
Wow.
So think about that. $10 for a lifetime. A child's life could be completely different than what their parents experienced, going to a dirty riverbank and knowing the water they're giving their children could create waterborne diseases and impact their health. Now, the children are going to know what clean, clear water is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you that. This has to be a major breakthrough as far as health standards go. And we, in the United States, we get upset if we find out someone's got a lead pipe still for their water. And here they're having to pull water out of a dirty river if you guys don't supply a well for them.
You're absolutely right. Many of the programs that we support are multifaceted. They may have health. We may be building houses in that area alongside the diocese or the leaders, and also medical support. So we have stats that show in many, many areas, of course, that the health improves. And with the health improving, children are going to school. Families are stronger and together. You know, they're no longer getting up at 1 in the morning and standing in a queue for hours, which I have done with numerous families in Guatemala and in Kenya, walking 8 hours, some people up to 8 hours to get water. So it's life-changing.
You bet. Melisha's making faces over here.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine.
Yeah, because she's got a shower every 3 or 4 hours. And so water's important to
her. It just makes you realize, you know, that the issues that we have are such first world problems. You know, people are walking 8 hours just to get water that might not even be that clean. And how we take that for granted every day. And for such a little amount, we can help a family have clean water.
Exactly. With the campaign, share with them. You mentioned $7 or $10. Tell us about the campaign itself, which is again entitled Wells of Salvation.
Wells of Salvation. So we're trying to provide water for over 200,000 people. If you go to crosscatholic.org, on our homepage, you will see a big banner, and if you click on that, you could help immediately provide 69 wells in 3 countries in Africa, all different types of wells, as I've discussed, and really be able to support changing their lives. So we, of course, are looking for those funds to do that and to be able to really make a difference this year. And I think there's no better time than in Lent to think about this and to be able to join us in prayer. We really, really, if you can't give and you want to put your prayer requests in or pray and join us as we pray for the partners, that would be such a gift. We see that in these countries where people are not having as many resources, they, when we come to visit, are bringing us their very best gift. They may never eat meat in the last 6 months, and they're bringing us their fruit, and they're bringing us their last chicken to provide during Mass. They are giving.
Wonderful.
And I think our role is to bring Catholics in the United States and these programs together so we can give to one another in prayer and also in almsgiving.
Michelle, real quick before we go, share with everyone what Cross Catholic Outreach is all about.
Yes, well, we really believe in, as I mentioned, an integral approach. We want to help the poorest of the poor. We work in over 30 countries, and we have about 250 programs that we support with housing, food, education, microfinance, agriculture programs, and of course water, which is one of our top priorities. And we don't believe in sending hundreds of staff to set up in countries, but like I said, to support the missionaries there. We believe in long-term support so that the church can really feed into these communities spiritually, socially, and materially. They are the best leaders I have ever met, and all that they need is financial support, and that's what we provide. We provide that financial support to allow them to impact their community and bring more people, you know, closer to the Lord in the process.
Yeah, and that's how our listeners can help and be a part of it as well. Michelle Sagarino, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. I encourage everybody to go to our website, crosscatholic.org, and join us this Lenten season.
I hope many people do. Mm-hmm. Michelle Sagarino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, doing great endeavors throughout the world. In particular, we're talking about Wells of Salvation, their newest campaign. And boy, what a great endeavor that is.
It is. It is. Wow. And you may remember that we partner with Cross Catholic Outreach.
We do.
For the boxes of joy around Christmas, before Christmas in November.
Yeah. So get here before you know
way,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
This is another great way to support them. Clean water. Isn't that something we take advantage of?
Yeah. Speaking of water.
Yes.
Don't we have some cruise
we
happening
on the
water?
We do have a cruise coming up. So you can set sail on Advent at Sea with Father Chris Decker. That is coming up this December from the 7th until the 11th, leaving from New Orleans. It is Western Caribbean with one stop in Cozumel, Mexico. Father Chris Decker will be available for daily mass and for confessions. So check that out, ccmedia.live.
It's a great way to get your Christmas season going.
There you go. That's right.
Great. All right, folks. Well, don't go too far, because we've got more coming your way, and including a special, I guess, movie coming out.
Yes, it is. And, it's exciting.
Alicia's going to share with you all about that when we return. It's already 30 after the hour on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour. Thank you for tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. Just a little shout out I want to share. We just talked with Michelle from Cross Catholic Outreach about Wells of Salvation. I want to give you that email or that website one more time. It's crosscatholic.org. I just had a text from a friend who heard the spot. She also works for Cross Catholic Outreach. Just a little shout out. St. Michael the Archangel High School in Baton Rouge last year raised $4,000 for Wells of Salvation.
Nice.
It's a lot of water being provided. So hopefully St. Michael will do that again this year, and hopefully your school or prayer group will do the same. That's crosscatholic.org. Well, we're looking forward to an interview with Aaron Berghaus. Aaron is the producer, director, and composer of Santiago, The Camino Within. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
We are so happy to have you with us. I have heard so much about the Camino and this journey of St. James and have never done it myself, but this will be a great way for those of us who haven't been to experience it. Tell us about Santiago, The Camino Within.
Well, we're so grateful that to be on your show this morning. And yes, it was a great blessing from God to be able to work on the film Santiago, The Camino Within, the journey of St. James evangelizing across the beautiful country of Spain. Really a life-changing experience for myself, and I think for everyone who is able to go. Our hope with this film is that Bishop Donald Hine, who is the narrator of the film, can take the viewer's hand and lead them on the journey of the Camino virtually, with sharing the beauty, the divine, really divine beauty of the Camino, and how it will then affect your own soul.
That's amazing. It's amazing. So this is a one-day opportunity to see this movie, Michelle. Aaron. It will be in theaters March 28th.
That's correct. And we're so grateful to Fathom Events to bring in a faith-based film into the theaters across the United States. And we're hoping that you and your audience will help us by linking hearts to go to the cinema so that we can continue to create art and faith-based films to be distributed in the theaters. We would be so grateful for you to join us in this mission.
That's wonderful. So, Aaron, talk about how the idea of having a movie about the Camino came to be. Was it something that came to you that you thought you wanted to do, or did Bishop Hine come to you and say this would be a great film? How did it happen?
Sure, this was a definite Holy Spirit hijack moment.
Okay.
We were, I'm sure you've experienced that.
Yes.
I think that when you surrender fully to God, everything that you are, everything that He's created you to be, which is always so much more than we can even imagine in our human mind, right? Because
yes.
if he left it to us, we'd be like, oh, no, I'm surely not capable.
Yes.
But it isn't about us, is it? It's
That's
about
right.
God, and it's about Him through us. And so we were in the middle of working on a 36 English, 36 Spanish, so a 72 film project. And I had just been having a conversation with God about how I wondered if this was going to be the last film project that he wanted me to serve him in. And yeah, the joke was on me. And so hijacked, opened an email and hijacked from that moment on. Then I did take the proper time, I really felt, to discern, was that indeed the Holy Spirit? And once God made it just undeniably clear, then fully surrendering to that. And it was a multi-year project, but just life-changing, as it is for artists. You know, I'm just a little artist. you know, so much deep contemplative prayer, right?
Yes.
What is it that God wants? How can we deepen our knowledge with St. James? This is really the heart and soul of St. James. And so it would have been God's call for him. That is just profoundly still evident right now, today, in our modern world. And one of the things we did at the end of the film for the theater, so it's kind of a theater exclusive, is we bridged that. We bridged the beauty of St. James and his evangelization, and we bridged it at the end for this exclusive theater over to the campus in the United States called Ave Maria University.
Yes.
And that was just so energizing. You know, all of the students, I think, that on the university have a vibe, you know, and they have a great, they just energize us by being around them, their love for God. And I do see a resurgence in the understanding and the need among the young people for pilgrimages, because we have to break away from the noise of our daily life in order to fill our little oil lamps so we can shine bright, right?
Yes.
So that is an exclusive event. It's a Father Jordan Berghaus and Bishop Donald Hine in a Q&A with the students of Ave Maria University. And that's a tag on that bridges right from the film, that's exclusive for the theaters as well.
Oh, what a wonderful addition. That sounds great. Now, tell you, we don't have that much time left. I feel like we could talk to you the whole hour, Aaron, but tell us, you talk about how life-changing this experience was. Can you give us a quick story of something that you experienced there where that was your aha moment or your Holy Spirit moment?
Oh, there's so many, Alicia. There's so many, but let me just make sure that we get Our Lady.
Yes.
Who is tomorrow the feast day of her yes. It all comes down to our yes, doesn't
Amen.
It?
It
and so we began the film in Zaragoza, which in the history of the world is the first place where the Mother of God appeared, and she appeared to Saint James, who in his journey of evangelizing felt, you know, maybe I think he needed the encouragement of Our Lady, and so she appeared to him to give him those words of encouragement. And that is exactly what we all need in our daily life, because she's there,
yes,
and the saints are there, and they're just waiting for us to ask for their help and their intercession.
Mm.
And she weaves herself all through the journey of St. James. And it's just profound. I mean, honestly, it probably makes me weep every time that I see the film. Because St. James is such an amazing evangelizer, you know, this son of thunder. So we can just kind of like imagine what his personality was. But at a moment of weakness and feeling that, oh, I'm not good enough, which all of us, I feel like that often.
Right.
But she comes as our mother, our heavenly mother, and says, don't quit. Keep on keeping on. And that is our life journey here. If we could somehow convince you to learn about the Camino, learn about the life of St. James, learn about how Our Lady was in his life and encouraged him to keep on, and it will change your life. The Camino will indeed change your life. And the first step that you could do that is here, that's going to be right in your cinema near you, is to take a little virtual journey with Bishop Donald Hine, a very holy priest, from Madison, Wisconsin, and he'll take your hand and take you on this journey. And then if you're able, you can go physically then to the Camino itself.
That's wonderful. Erin, let our listeners know what website they can go to find out more information about Santiago, the Camino within.
If you go to Ahava Productions, which is the name of the nonprofit, we're just a small nonprofit dedicated. Okay. Our mission is to creating films on the beauty of the Catholic Church, to bring hope, right? To create art that brings hope and the beauty of goodness of God. Ahava is A-H-A-V as in Victor, A, Ahava. Okay. Productions.com. And right on the top there, you'll see buy your tickets here. And that'll take you over to Fathom Events. You'll put in your area code, your zip code, actually. Put in, and then that'll bring you to a theater near you where you can purchase your tickets, or you can go on that day on March 28th, one day only, right to the theater near you. So you'll want to make sure that there's seats available at the theater you're hoping for.
That's right. Erin, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. That's March 28th. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
Minutes before the top of the hour on this Friday morning, and you're listening to Wake Up. Damian Colano along with Alicia Quibido, and our special friend Kristen Van Uden is with us. She's with Sophia Institute Press, and she's here to talk about an interesting book entitled Evidence of Satan in the Modern World. Like we needed a book for that, but somebody has to write it, right,
That's
Kristen?
That's right. I know it seems like the evidence is abundant all around it, but
that's kind of how I feel.
Yes.
Yep. It's another one of our somewhat dark books. I know I've been talking about the apocalypse a lot, and now this, but it always is a good reminder to us to at least pray more.
It is true. Not only should we be reminded, but quite often in today's world, it's almost like, especially the newer generation, it's like, you know, Satan doesn't exist, or they get involved in the occult in some way, shape, or form. I hope the book touches on these things.
Definitely. And that, as we know, the maxim goes that one of Satan's greatest achievements is to convince the world he doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting that many people who got involved in the somewhat early days of the occult in the early 20th century, and even to today, still have a very materialistic mindset, almost as if they deny the supernatural. I know an atheist who reads tarot cards, for example, it's like, well, that's not really consistent, is it? You either believe in the supernatural or you don't. And that is one of the dangers, is that people who get involved with these things for fun, or, for example, in the early days of the occult, it holding seances as like a dinner party activity, and they don't think that they'll be summoning anything, and then of course they do, and they get caught because their mind is still telling them the supernatural at large doesn't exist at all. So this book contains many examples of those type of people, and sometimes our Lord uses that to bring them actually to the faith and to bring them to the sacraments especially, but other times it does not end so well.
Well, I can remember growing up as a teen, I always got the Times-Picayune or the States Item, opened it up. I wanted to read the horoscope of the day because I figured, hey, this might be the day I might meet the girl of my dreams. And found out, talking to a priest or going when I was going to confirmation classes, they said, you shouldn't be doing that. The horoscope is kind of dabbling in that. You need to focus on Christ and trust in him.
Yes, exactly. It's ubiquitous. So an unsuspecting reader, or even now with the internet, it's everywhere, might fall into these things and think, oh, it's just okay. And even if nothing happens to you, that's only because the grace of God is protecting you. But we have to remember that ultimately all of these dabbling in the occult have to do with violations of the first commandment, because they're seeking this secret Gnostic knowledge that is not within big R revelation, and we have to trust that through prayer and through God making his will known to us and his ways and his timing, that for us, we don't need to know the future. We don't need to know what's going to happen to us and look for any of these alternative resources.
So what's one going to find if they pick up the book, Evidence of Satan in the Modern World? What's within the book that would intrigue them?
So this book is really interesting because a lot of what Sophia has published on this topic has included really strong theology that sets the basis and the underpinnings of why we believe what we believe in the church about evil and why the rules, so to speak, are what they are. And this author kind of takes as a given that the reader knows that and knows that it's wrong to dabble in the occult and is aware of the teachings on hell and Satan and the fall of the angels and all of that. And so what he focuses on is mostly these anecdotes. He gives a good introduction to quoting from scripture, make sure that we understand that. But then really it is what the title suggests, which is case study after case study of evidence of cases of possession, obsession, harassment, these various levels of demonic activity that he has either encountered through his own work as a priest or through priest friends who have sent him evidence. And they are all, I know, modern. He was writing in 1961, but they are all pretty contemporary. So a few go back to the 19th century. One, he actually deals with St. John Marie Vianney and his the attacks that the devil levied against him, and brings it all the way up to what was the present day in his world. The last cases mentioned in here are from the 1950s. So I'm sure that if he was writing today, he would have even more to write about. But these case studies, I think, really grab the reader's attention because you're kind of kept wrapped, like what's going to happen next. And they can be a little scary at some point. So I would read this one during the day, but they really are memorable.
Yes, and there's also in the book techniques on how to arm yourself against the devil and his masterful, deceiving ways that can sometimes mislead us.
Yes, and so like any good priest, Monsignor Christiani tells us that really the hopeful message that living a good Catholic life is the best defense against the devil, doing what we are supposed to do anyway. So following the precepts of the church, frequenting the sacraments, especially confession, about once a month confession, and then receiving the Eucharist in the state of grace as often as possible, and prayer. So the spiritual weapon of the rosary, our greatest tool in our toolbox of spiritual warfare, praying to Saint Michael and things like that. So I know recently these deliverance prayers have become somewhat popular, but when you read priests from, you know, before the mid-20th century and beyond, they don't really talk about that type of special prayer. This seems to be a new phenomenon, maybe borrowing from Protestantism. So it's really this recipe of simple things that we know that we should be doing, and, of course, consulting a good priest if anything seems out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and he also shows the difference between signs of being possessed as well as those being, obsessed by way of mental illness or psychological issues, right?
Right, and luckily this practice has continued to exorcists of today. So Monsignor Rossetti, for example, who writes for Sophia, discusses in his books how there's always this mental health evaluation before an exorcist is sent in. And that's a standard part of their procedure. So especially today when we have a greater understanding of the purely physical side of mental illness, biological and even mental but still medical, and of course everything that happens to a person affects the soul, then they can really use the priest and his special faculties in a more precise way.
Amen. And again, Kristen Van Uden with Sophia Institute, tell us the name of the book again and the author.
So it's called Evidence of Satan in the Modern World by Monsignor Leon Christiani, and it's available, as always, at sophiainstitute.com.
Very good. Well, we hope you have a blessed weekend, and at the same time, keep that rosary handy.
That's right. Take care.
Okay, Kristen, thank you for being with us. And I figured what she mentioned St. Michael.
Yeah.
What better way to wrap up the week and
Perfect.
The show After talking about the devil, we're going to ask St. Michael to intercede for us and protect all of us as we venture into this Friday of, again, no eating meat if you can help it. And here we go. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Michael,
pray for us.
Hey, join us on Monday morning for Wake Up. Denise Beyer will co-host with us. She'll be here the whole show. Lynn Woods will talk about the March for Life in March. Jordan Burke with Sophia Institute Press will tell us about The Pope's Exorcist. That's a new book. Alan Miglerato and David Whitten will also join us. It'll be a great show. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.